AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock.
A camel chutney.
Hello, mate. All right.
Yeah, you.
All right. I'm all right. Episode 12. I think, or 11, of the Fighting Cock podcast, season 9. Here we go again, once again. Talking about Tottenham after a disappointing result.
Yeah, my word, what sadistic days we live in to get a point away in the Champions League group.
I know. I made a fatal flaw yesterday. I broke my own rule, and I banged on about it all the time, and have a go at people who do it. But straight after the result, I went on Twitter. And it was exhausting. And I actually tweeted, like, I was getting so pissed off with what I was reading. I lashed out myself and tweeted about, like, I don't know, bemoaning people that are moaning, basically, which is another rule that I don't have. Like, don't never go on Twitter, don't post. And then obviously got a lot coming back. And in the end, I just deleted the post because I couldn't be bothered with any more conversations. Basically, it was a gist of the saying, like, fucking, how dare you moan? And in the cold light of day, of course you're going to moan if you're unhappy with performance, whether we win or lose. And who am I to say anything to anyone if they want to have a whinge? You know, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I litter my tweets with a bit of comedy and also a bit of self-awareness that, you know, I'm not Twitter police. I'm not telling people don't think like this, don't critique, don't criticise, don't feel miserable. But the thing that lacks from my perspective is the consistency, or rather they have consistency. They moan regardless of whether we're doing well or not. And it's almost like, well, is that because the social media economy of angst and anger carries more weight than something fluffy and happy clappy? And I think it comes down to that, really. There's more of an impact if you're angry, if you like screaming and shouting and scapegoating and the rest of it. And some players, you know, we deserve to point things out. It's the way we have discourse and talk. But at the same time, Twitter is the worst place to have a conversation and a debate and a discussion because it's not natural.
Well, that's what I found myself in a situation. I have a conversation with this guy. And
I still love it, though.
Good. He was being quite pragmatic and trying to get to where I was coming from. Yeah. And my reaction to him asking me pragmatic questions was to come back more abrasive. And, you know, that's not who I am. I don't like doing that. And I think part of the reason why I felt so angry is that probably deep down I was quite disappointed with the result.
Yeah.
I wanted more. I have this kind of blind faith sometimes that things are going to be all right. Things are going to be all right. We're fine. We're going to get out of this group. It was a disappointing result against Olympiacos. They did play it out of their skins.
Yeah.
Certainly for the first hour. And, you know, definitely deserved a point out of it. And that's what happens in football. And so it's a Champions League side. It's not like a Europa League group. And many people warned us, like Andy Brassel especially warned, if you listen to him on TalkSport, I think,
They've got a good record, haven't they? They've got a good home record and they've got good form against English clubs.
Yeah, I think nine
European
now,
competition.
Nine on the bounce have gone to Olympiacos and haven't won. And the stadium is intimidating. They were very loud.
That's the Greeks for you, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, so it was while it was a disappointing result, more so actually, the result was less disappointing than the performance by certain players. And I think a lot of the irony was aimed at Eriksen. How did you feel like he performed?
Well, he didn't really. I think it was a weird game. You know, you can sit back and rewatch it. Not that I'd advise anyone to do it. And he doesn't look like he's in the moment. There's a couple of players that seem to be lacking that responsibility and that desire to want to perform, but the entire team seems a bit fragmented at the minute, and there has been regression over the last 6 to 12 months, no doubt, but we still displayed the character traits that got us through so many Champions League games and got us to the final, you know, and we can still perform. We know we've got the players to still perform if they all spark together, but it's, you know, too many injuries, too many players coming back. There was all that stuff over the summer about players with their contracts running down, and you kind of still feel, well, players like Eriksen and Vertonghen, we don't really know what happened with Jan, but you got to think that maybe he was looking elsewhere as well. Like, are these players 100% in it? And is the fact that Poch can feel that they're not, and there's a bit of a problem behind closed doors, that kind of causes that synergy that we relied upon so much to erode a little bit, and it's not quite clicking all over the place. I mean, you can tell, like, transitionally, defence, midfield, attack, sometimes the attack doesn't link up. Sometimes the midfield is simply Harry Winks on his own, playing with the effort, the energy of three players. And then the defence seems to be all over the shop. So you said blind faith earlier, that you've got blind. I don't think it's blind faith. I think it's just patience from the fact that we know what this team of players and manager are capable of. You know, we just, people expect things to change after one game. Like, we smashed Palace, Tottenham are back. Well, no, not quite. Like, we're just going to have to wait. And I think this game, we got through it. We were 2-0 up. It's a pisser that we pissed it away, right? We shouldn't have at 2-0. We should have killed the game off. But Spurs aren't quite capable of doing that at the minute. But I keep saying it, man. If this is a crisis, if this is us in crisis, I'll take it over anything else that we've had in the past. You know, we will work through it. And if we don't, then for fuck's sake, we move on. What is out of my control? What are we meant to do? If players are coming to the end of their Tottenham lifeline, then this is a transition that's going to take a lot longer. So either you grow a backbone and the players do the same, as well as the supporters, and we just get through it.
Yeah, we had some interesting questions about Eriksen. So people aren't happy with him. It seems like it stems from the summer and the fact that before then, it's like the fact that the news broke a week before the Champions League final that he was interested in a new challenge. And I don't think anyone denies it that he should go and get that if he wants to, because he's served Spurs well for a very, very long time. And then you kind of had the summer period of speculation, and his performances in pre-season weren't great. And then obviously we had this situation where he wasn't starting because they wanted to protect him for the potential transfer if one came forward.
Yeah.
And then when he has played, he hasn't played brilliantly. Like, he had a good game against Palace. He played excellently when he came on against Villa. He didn't play. He played at Arsenal as well, which he was sort of okay, I guess, and had an absolute stinker last night.
I think he did, didn't he?
Oh, terrible. It was a fault for the goal that conceded the penalty, Robert.
He wasn't influential. These type of games are the games that he should be stepping up and bossing. But he does tend to do that more often than not. But I guess this is where, as a fan base and as people, how we all see the same thing, but we all have different opinions and perspectives on it. You know, people are now saying, in the wake of last night, you know, 80% of the games he's played for Tottenham, he's been invisible. He hasn't done anything. And I'm thinking, well, hold on a minute. Like, if he's been invisible and he's not been influential, what his statistics and his assists and everything that he's done is in, and the things that you see with your eyes without the need for kind of those stats and numbers, what that didn't happen? Well, we're fabricating, and we're now saying he only turns up against the small clubs. I mean, and I think people that don't like Eriksen will find more reason to kind of dislike him and want him out of the club off the back of those type of performances, and they probably won't say a lot negatively when he performs well.
Yeah.
So it's one of these things, like, it isn't good the way he's behaved, but he's been one of these players that's not too dissimilar to Carrick, that he's Tottenham, he scored some amazing last minute goals, and he's had moments at the club that, you know, you kind of will remember for a long time, but he's not the type of player like Kane, who would just, like, wear his heart on his sleeve. You know, Eriksen always had the plan. Like, before he signed for Tottenham, and even when he did sign for Tottenham, he used to talk about going the Barcelona route, but that's where his ambition has always been. So maybe the guy's a little bit depressed as a millionaire footballer can get. That no one's bid for him. No one's come in for him.
We had a question from PP. Paul Polly one on Twitter. He says, should we just let Eriksen rot in the reserves if he can't be bothered anymore?
That's not going to happen for like a million different reasons. I get the sentiment.
Surely it can't be as simple as that he's just simply not bothered.
No, he's had this before, hasn't he? There was a while back where he was a bit ropey for a few months, actually, and then he came good again. And at the time, people were thinking, is it because he was trying to work his way towards a new contract, and that's why he was a bit disinterested? Or I don't know. I mean, again, this is what I mean. It's just an opinion on how you perceive people and footballers and the rumours and whatever else.
Mm.
The evidence, rather, that you know that Eriksen wanted to go away. You wanted to leave, but no one came in for him. So,
do you remember when... Go ahead, mate. Go on, carry on.
No. I was just going to say, if he's seen out his contract, it doesn't do him any favours if he's going to play like this all of the time, because like people are going to look at him and think, well, why do we want to be signing this guy? Like, he's obviously... obviously not got the right mentality for it. So...
Yeah, I mean, do you remember when he was being compared to Coutinho when he was having that flying season at Liverpool?
Yeah, yeah.
And I said it on the pod a couple of times, is like he's one of the most upgradable members of our squad at that time. We were having a great season. I'm pretty sure it was the season we finished unbeaten at home. And obviously a lot of people took exception at that comment, and I was like, we could upgrade him. And then he had an absolutely blinding reaction to that poor form, as you mentioned. So, is it a case of us waiting and seeing and seeing what he can do for the rest of the season with Spurs? Or do we have to, at some point, Pochettino has to recognise that perhaps he isn't in the right mind state to play for us at the level we want him to play at and potentially take him out the side?
Well, this is it. If he, let's say that that's the reason, but because Lascelles injured... and there's no other option at the minute in the middle. If we're forced to play him because of that, because we know how inventive he can be and how influential he can be when he's on it, and he gives us that extra dimension that we need, then if he's being played for those reasons because there is no other option at the moment, the manager knows that, Eriksen knows that, the other players know that. It's a bit poisonous, not in a really overly dramatic way.
Hmm.
But it doesn't do the togetherness of the squad and the team any good. And that's what we've been built on. We've been built, Poch built everything on this foundation and philosophy about how to play and play for one another. And everything was in sync. I think it's all sort of come undone a little bit. It's fixable, but, maybe it's fixable for the short term to get us through this season and have another good season. But long term, there's too many players, man. There's too many players that are going to be potentially leaving or need to be replaced. So I guess with Eriksen and everyone else in that conundrum, it's a case of us having to be a bit patient. I mean, what can we do? Go out and buy four or five players next summer? Well, we might need to. We couldn't do that this year. We booked three and none of them are really figured in the team so far. So
I think at centre-back, we're going to have to replace someone for sure. What did you think about Sammy Edo, the centre-back with the dreadlocks?
I'm going to pretend that I've got a really strong opinion on him and go, yeah, I fancy him.
I was just really impressed with him. I know he's been sent off like 8 times in his career and he's a bit hot-headed, but he looks so comfortable on the ball.
Yeah. And he's a footballer, so... And
what does that mean?
No, but
he is a footballer, yeah.
Yeah. What I mean is, he's not like a Harry Maguire or some kind of physical bulk in the back. Modern centre backs tend to know how to play a little bit of football in terms of passing the ball, and they're a little bit more cultured. But at Tottenham, you look at Vertonghen, you look at Toby and his passing range, Sanchez as well. I know he gets a bit of stick for other reasons, but they can play with the ball at their feet. So anybody who's comfortable with the ball at their feet is going to be someone that I'm going to be comfortable watching.
Yeah, fair enough. We've got to talk about the elephant in the room, but before we do, actually, just a shout out to the assist made by Davies, the challenger. He won the ball, brought it forward, and played a lovely ball into Lucas Moura's path, who absolutely rifled that into the net. It was a great...
That was a quality.
It was the highlight, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, just quick shout to that before we go on to talk about Davinson Sanchez and his role in this side and what the fuck is going on.
Well,
look, it's... I just couldn't believe that I was seeing it again. And a part of me was like, is this Pochettino just being stubborn? That he wants to defy critics by doing the same thing again, because it's not because it's for the best of the side, but he feels kind of insulted that anyone would question him. Because I don't get it. I do not understand it. If you're leaving Serge Aurier at home and he's played one game this season, and you're not taking a right back, or you take Carl Walker-Peters, who was on the bench, right, but not fully fit, so, and you play Sanchez, who had such a horror show against Arsenal in another important game against Olympiacos. So, can you see the reasoning for it?
No, I don't. And look, I love Pochettino. You know, he's done some daft things in the past, and you think that, okay, they're daft because I've not watched Tottenham training preparation for a game. But then suddenly, if you're playing a player out of position that isn't comfortable in that position, and you're doing it more than once or twice, and there's no improvement, you've got to start questioning what am I not seeing, because I think the vast majority are seeing the same thing, and it's not good. So unless you know, I mean, Rose, I'm guessing, was rested. I don't know if Serge has a knock. I don't remember reading anything about him being left behind because of like a potential slight injury or whatever. You know, I know we've got a lot of games to play. Don't we have a lot of games to play?
I know.
You're right. Aurier played well. If the one thing about that player is he's played well in pockets, because he only plays in pockets. Mm. He only plays now and again, and he put in a good performance. He put in a weird performance. Players like that need to play consistently, and then they kind of find their own comfort zone, and then it makes competition, and it forces other players to start fighting for that position. And you want a natural right back that knows what to do with his feet, you know, when he's crossing, when he's running, when he's defending, when he's cutting in. What you don't want is someone who's kind of unnatural in that position. So to answer your question, I haven't got a fucking clue. I think it is stubbornness, and that worries me, because if it's stubbornness, then Poch is possibly deflecting. He's possibly frustrated himself.
But maybe he's frustrated, but like frustrated at injuries, frustrated at things that are outside of his control and the club's control, because we do have depth at fullback. Like they may not have the quality we expect, and we're kind of banking a lot on Kyle Walker-Peters coming through and being a top fullback, but it's a gamble at this stage. But we have we have Kyle Walker-Peters, we've got Serge Aurier and Foyth. Now, the injuries to two of those players are something that can't be avoided. Any club... Yeah. Now you look at Man City, the depth that they have, and they're struggling at the centre-back at the moment. Kyle Walker probably has to pay there at the weekend because they've got no centre-backs. Because you can't legislate for injury. And we've lost two of our three full-backs. So, but that still doesn't mean that David Sanchez has to play there. And it certainly doesn't mean that he has to play there if you've got Alvarez, who's played there for his country at right back. So it's a weird one. But I think with the fact that Aurier is fit, and so is Kyle Walker-Peters now for the next game, we probably won't see Sanchez back there again, we hope. But we had a question from Chris Leakes. He says, Sanchez at right back is the worst example of playing someone... Is Sanchez at right back the worst example of someone playing out of position? And if not, what other examples can you think of
And
Son not play left back for us?
Left wing back. He played
left wing back.
That was on the
that was
as
a
well.
Disaster.
Yeah, that was a disaster. We never saw that happen again. And Elliot Smith, he said Gary Doherty up top, North London Derby semi final 2001.
I remember. I'm sure it was an FA Cup game. It probably was in the same season. To be fair, we played Orient away. It was a fucking awful game, and
I
think he popped up and scored. If I remember this correctly, did he score twice?
Yeah, he did. He,
I was going to say we won 1-0, but obviously not.
I think if I remember the game rightly, we won 3-2. It might not have been Orient.
Oh, damn.
This is a long time ago, so we kind of get muddled. But I remember Gary Doherty picking the ball up around the halfway line and running, and somehow carrying the ball and then slotting it home. I remember that. That was probably the greatest moment. But in that game that Elliot Smith mentioned, he scored. The North London Derby,
he did.
Header for us to go 1-0 up.
Yeah, he did.
Coincidence, Sol Campbell's last ever game to Spurs, I think.
Oh, God, yeah, no, it was. I'm sure he got injured in that game, didn't he?
Yeah, that was it, as the story goes. Those are great examples. And the fact that Pochettino keeps pulling this shit is frustrating. It's frustrating. And again, going back to what we started this podcast with talking. Is it's okay for people to be frustrated when you're seeing this shit that's almost inexcusable or unexplainable? Like, it's like
unacceptable.
Unacceptable. We're going to be talking for the Patreon podcast where we preview the Leicester game. We're talking to one Kristen Hennage, and I've tasked him with the job of figuring out why Pochettino is playing Sanchez at right back. And, you know, this is someone
who
understands football better than me. So I'm hoping that he'll be able to shed some light on it. Although he did have a puzzled expression. So we'll see. If you want to listen to that and other stuff we're doing, including No Holds Barred podcast, then you can sign up at patreon.com/ The Fighting Cock. It costs $7 a month, which works out just over the cost of a premium pint in London. And for that, you get, I don't know, it's like 20 podcasts a month. And other bits and pieces, access to the Telegram group, all the good stuff. What else went on then, Spooky Boy? What else did you notice about the game? Anything you wanted that you felt was worth talking about? The irony, actually, about Sanchez is that he wasn't at fault for any of the goals, that he didn't cost us anything.
No, I know.
One thing we did notice is the lack of balance and how narrow we were. And that was
again.
Lee Moody Tosser on Twitter, he says, what was the last time we played consistently good football, and who is responsible for the drop in form? Is it arguably all of the players?
Oh, blimey. I mean, I can't actually remember when we last played consistently well.
Christmas last year when we beat Everton 6-2 and beat Bournemouth home. We were absolutely flying at that point.
I think it's just 5 years of building up to something, and then and you know what they say about teams having like cycles, and I guess what's unlucky about Tottenham, is that we didn't win anything when we were at our very best under Pochettino. It's not like we didn't try. We did. We got to a cup final. We got to semi-finals. We've exceeded expectations every year, because let's not pretend that every single season Spurs supporters, forget the pundits and the media and rival fans, were all saying, oh, look at what we've done in the summer, blah blah blah, we're not finishing top four. And every season we'd be like the best footballing side in the country, but end up with no silverware for it. And that must take a hell of a lot out of the players. I mean, most teams don't perform at this level and end up with nothing, you know. And I say end up with nothing, end up with no silverware, because as supporters, you know, as frustrating as it's been, we've had some amazing memories, and I think most of us have not had this bond with a team this strong ever in our lifetives. Maybe like I have to go back to 1987 and older supporters will go back to the very early 80s. You know, it's not like we've been shit. We have. We've been five, six years is not a long time. And you just look at what we've achieved as a club in terms of turning around the footballing culture and the intensity we played at and the players that we've got in the team. And it would just been unlucky. So we wouldn't be moaning too much if this was happening and we had won one or two cups, you know, because we'd be saying, OK, all right, it's time to change a little bit. Mm. And I think it's just the way football is. We need to be refreshed. And I think we've got three players in there, three players for three key positions. So, I mean, come on, man. How many games have we played in the league this season? Like, I just feel that I'm saying the same thing, standing on my soapbox and saying the same thing. Just fucking wait. I say it at the beginning of every season.
And
every season turns out to be another holy shit, I didn't expect this to happen type of season.
Yeah. So, I remember you saying about Gareth Bale back in the day. I mean, it might have been season one. And I, again, one of my another great prophecies that I come up with is that Gareth Bale is too greedy and shoots too much. And you're like, what? Let him be expressive. Let him shoot. Let him try outrageous stuff because it will enable him to become the player that we hope he would. And he did. Yeah, yeah. Whereas I was just concentrating on him not being greedy rather than seeing the bigger picture of this is a player who is supremely confident, who's going to do special things. So, yeah, man, I mean, wait and see is a great thing, but it's hard in football.
It is hard. And I've had a couple of people say to me, because I wrote something this morning about how, and I know this is proper old school fighting cock about belonging and about supporting the club, but that's my responsibility as a supporter. Like I value being a Tottenham supporter above and beyond everything else. And if we're doing well or not doing well, I'm still that's what I am, and that will never change. Everything else is kind of out of my control, whether we've got a good team or shit team. But someone made a comment saying it's harder for some supporters now to feel that way, and because of the price of tickets, because of the match day cost, because of having to take family or girlfriends or brothers, sisters, whatever, and people are now more inclined to moan even more than ever, because we are customers and client reference numbers, and we're not really supporters anymore. There's no such thing as a supporter anymore because we're paying for the football experience. So it's like going, I'm not going to make an analogy out of it. We've had this discussion a lot, but at the same time, that I kind of step away from that as well and say, well, whether you go to the games, all of them or some of them, or you're not in the country or you can't travel to watch Spurs, you still support Tottenham. And in that moment when we're scoring and winning games and getting to the next round of a cup or progressing in Europe, what you essentially feel in that moment is still what defines you if you choose to be defined that way. Otherwise, what are you in it for? Are you in it to gloat? Do you just want to win cups and silverware to say, look at what we've won? Because as nice as that is, as much as I want to fucking do that, believe me, I want to do that, it still isn't, it shouldn't be what football's about. But
yeah, I mean,
maybe I'm just hanging on to old traditions, man. And
I think what you most love about football are those moments. And Spurs have given us those in a plenty. And I think that's where, if you're coming from that angle, as I am, is like, you know, this is a great football club, and you know, you shouldn't moan too much. You shouldn't be too disappointed if we have a bad result that you hope, you know, we would win. But it is difficult to ignore the fact that that some people are paying £100 for a ticket to watch us play Bayern Munich at home.
It's a joke. It's hard. It really is.
So I can understand why people get frustrated with it, and it takes quite a strong will to ignore those things when supporters are continually being shafted by the club. And I think we talked about it a couple of seasons ago, where the goodwill the fans have for Tottenham, it's been eradicated by the prices that the clubs are setting for tickets, and you know, and the lack of transfers, and like, you know, use up a goodwill waiting for this stadium to be opened, and then to get there and see the prices go up in some instances 70%.
and you understand it from a business perspective because they've got to pay for this stadium and we've got to still compete in the transfer market. But the goodwill is out. It's done. It's used up. And Spurs fans will become more angry on Twitter and elsewhere because they demand everything, because all of what's great about being belonging to a community club that Spurs aren't anymore, you know, it's gone. So, you talk about Bury, the Bury fans and Bolton fans, and you've got to feel sorry for them because they are that football club and it's being taken from them or severely damaged. But Spurs, it's a different process. You can't compare Spurs fans with Bolton fans, really, because we aren't the community that Bolton fans are with their club and Bury fans are with their club. We are customers of a giant business. And when that business isn't providing the product that you want, you're going to be angry because you've been asked to pay so much.
Fuck, we're fucked.
We're not fucked because a couple of wins, everyone forgets about that shit. But
yeah, you know it.
And this is what I'm saying, is when the goodwill runs out, you expect everything. And it Spurs and Daniel Levy as engineers to a situation where fans are feeling like, well, right, we'll pay, but you've got to deliver. And when you don't deliver, we're going to let you know. The irony of all of this is that the club don't give a shit whether you're moaning or not. And all that happens is infighting between supporters. And, you know, me being a dick on Twitter last night. So, anyway, what else we got? Daniel Platt actually makes a good point to kind of swing this the other way. He says, is the result last night even that bad? I mean, the consequences of it, no matter if we'd won that game or not, the most likely result is that we still finish second in our Champions League group. Beat them at home and we're sorted. The fallout of this is that we are in a good position to qualify. If you draw your away games and win your home games, you can have enough. It's 10 points. You win. Is it Red Star Belgrade? Red Star, yeah. So if we beat Red Star home and away and draw at Bayern at home, you know, you've got the 10 points, but I don't think you probably need 10 points to qualify from this group anyway.
No, so. I mean, look, last year we relied on a lot of things. We lost our first two games. We fucked up the opener. Like, it was more of a disaster than this season, because you could argue last season, you know, we were more of a team. We hadn't regressed to the point we are at now. Whereas this season, we're still trying to kind of remold our style and identity on the pitch and get players playing all together as a unit again, blah, blah, blah. And it isn't so much of a shock that, you know, the game played out the way it played. Because, like, going forward, I thought if we had a bit more finesse and a bit more, you know, we had the quality there to kill them. But it was what we were doing at the back and what we were doing in possession that gave them momentum in the first hour or so to hurt us. So you can see where the problems are. So you kind of know that that's where we need to improve, and we probably will. And yeah, we're going from here. 1 point out the first game, you know, an away game that's arguably a bit tricky, etc. It isn't. But because we're not winning games convincingly, Palace aside, people are going to just kind of knee-jerk. And it's a knee-jerk that's half deserved in some ways, because there's a lot of things that keep reoccurring that are now beginning to grate on people. But, like, again, I know people hate supporters that go, "Well, remember back in the day when we were shit," right? And I hate doing that as well, because we're a different type of football club now, and you have to retain a sense of ambition and not just say, "Well, it's better than it was in the 90s." Well, but it is. We are a better team and a better football club than we were for most of my Spurs supporting life. But if this is us in trouble, I'll take it any day of the week. I've said it before. Like, we've got quality in there. You can't deny that we haven't got quality. And even players like Eriksen, we know he's capable of pulling his socks up and getting his finger out of his arse and focusing, because he's at some point he'll have to do that. Otherwise, he will be playing for the fucking development team. You know, what purpose will he serve if he's not performing at a level? We just need we just need our three signings to be integrated in the team, fully fit, playing, and I think Spurs will bounce. And we're still better than most football clubs, man. Even at 60%, we're still better than most clubs in the Premier League.
Mm.
You know, what people want, though, is they want Tottenham at 90%. They want, and that's what I want. That's what you want. Everyone wants to see us compete, because the crux of it is we know we can still compete, even though we should be miles off some of these football clubs like Liverpool and City, or just those two football clubs, and half of Europe, half of the European elite. We shouldn't be anywhere near these teams, and yet we persistently kind of overachieve. And you don't want to lose out on that. You don't want to not overachieve, because then it'd be quite a bland season. And I think we're quite privileged now, you know.
Mm. Yeah. Oh dear. Well, yeah, it's just you know, I don't know what's going on with me, Speak, man. I don't like
I thought you zoned out then.
No, I
ran for that long.
No, you didn't. I was listening. I just felt like for the first time in a long time, I'm taking bad results worse than I ever have. I don't know what's gone on, because I was talking to my old man earlier, and he was like everything's shit, we're terrible, Ericsson's got to go, Pochettino, do you know what you talk? I don't know what's happened to my dad, because my dad was always the barometer of sense in my life when it comes to football. He was always like, don't worry, gal, next week we'll come again, it's fine. And it's just, he's gone the other way. I think he's been, it's the taste of success. It's the taste of what could be. And then having that taken from you, it affects people badly, really.
Well, it makes you wonder what we'd be like if we actually won the title. You know, if we won the league, you think we're bad now in terms of what we want.
Mm.
And I mean, it's such a complex discussion, because you want the best, and your dad, from the sounds of it, he wants Tottenham to succeed, because he knows that, in a kind of non-arrogant way, we deserve it as supporters. I mean, every supporter of every football club will say that, but we deserve it. Fuck them.
Mm-hmm.
And the players and Poch deserve to have something kind of solidified in their legacy, you know, that's in a trophy cabinet and not just like Ajax away and stuff like that. So I get the frustration, but that's probably where it bleeds into the fandom, and where you're getting it infected by it, because you want your team to do really, really well to the point where you're angry and frustrated with it, and then actually negative because of it. But at the same time, you want the best from them, and it's like, well, you're at odds with yourself, because surely if we're pushing towards something, you should be enjoying that, because when it's finally delivered, what are you going to do? Look back and think, fuck, I've spent the last three seasons being, you know, like a sweary, abusive type of football fan that hates everything and pisses on everything, you know? It's a weird one. I think you're not the only person in a state of flux. I mean, I'm fucking all over the place, to be fair, but usually my head's usually in the clouds, because I just almost refuse to not believe that something good will happen out of this, because I enjoy what Tottenham do, and I feel as sick as anyone else, but I guess as sick as I feel, I then don't start thinking, right, how can I make myself feel better? I know I'm going to rant and slag off Ericsson and slag off this player. And you're entitled to do that if that's how you get through football. You probably get through that in other ways, like slagging off, I don't know, your fucking Sky subscription or bills or the fucking mortgage or whatever. You probably have to have a release. But football should be that release, and it should be a good one. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit of a messy time, because our expectations are high, and then they're high because we know what we're still capable of doing. And I guess to end this particular rant, I guess maybe part of us, all of us, think, what if it is coming to an end and it's just a slow, slow death? And
well, this is it, is that it never will come to an end, because it's... we're set up for it to rebound regardless.
I agree. I think it's like the whole Pochettino thing coming to an end.
That's true.
I guess will hurt us. But yeah, I mean, we all have to find a backbone with that and move on. And maybe everything that he's done will set us up for someone else to come in and kind of re-energise the club. But I don't really want to be thinking about that until it happens.
Yeah, man. Well, look, there's one more question before we end. And that's from Bardi, and he said, "The spook you ever wish he never answered Flav's email 9 years ago this week."
Fuck that shit, man.
How does he know 9 weeks ago? Nine years ago.
What's the anniversary? 9 years ago this week. Shit.
So 9 years, is it? Fuck me.
I mean, it's...
feels that long.
It's 9 years of therapy, man. I've missed a few sessions, though, it has to be said. But...
you know what we might do, actually, what would be a good thing to do would be... To do a reflective podcast over the 9 years, not on the Fighting Cock, but for what's changed, what the starting lineup was the first week of us doing the Fighting Cock to where we are now.
Oh, yeah, that's a cracking idea.
Yeah, put something together for that. That would be interesting to do.
Yeah,
9 year special. All right, mate.
No, man, I don't regret that shit. No. I mean, you look at everything now, and the community that's been birthed from it. You know, it's
some crazy stuff.
Fucking
gone on,
amazing, yeah.
Yeah. All right, mate. Okay. Well, thank you, Spook, for joining me.
That's all right, man.
And
cheer up, yeah. Don't stop drinking gin for a week or two. That'll help.
Do you know, I did have a fair bit to drink last night, and I think that's probably why I'm feeling
there you go.
A little bit low today. But yeah, all right. No, I mean, it's about fine. Like when we get thumped 4-0 by Leicester at the weekend, we'll revisit that new optimism.
Oh, fucking anyway. Vardy.
Oh, mate, don't. All right, cheers, Spook. I'll speak to you later, mate.
Love you, man.
Love you too. Bye.
Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.